The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Kamala Harris has returned, ladies and gentlemen. She's going around talking to different people about her new book, which is about how she only had 107 days to lose an election. Personally, I think I could probably lose an election in less than 107 days, but she seems to think that that's impressive. And Kamala Harris did the classic thing that all Democrats do. They don't go on shows where people talk about differing viewpoints. She doesn't go on conservative host shows. She doesn't even go on alternative media shows that are friendly to her. She goes on MSNBC. That's pretty much the only thing she can handle. Something that is incredibly friendly to her. Something that is just classic mainstream media. But the crazy thing is that MSNBC actually kind of wrecked Kamala Harris and actually pressed her on a few things. So Kamala Harris is on MSNBC to talk about her book. Apparently, there's a kind of part of her book. I haven't read it because it doesn't come out till tomorrow. I probably won't read it anyway. But there's a part in her book where she talks about her VP decision, which of course was famously bad because she chose Tim Walz, and it does not get worse than that. And she talks in that section about how she kind of wanted to choose Pete Buttigieg, but she ultimately didn't because he was too gay. And to my surprise, Rachel Maddow in MSNBC actually pressed her on, actually asked her a difficult question. Take a look.
President, to say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No, that's not what I said. That he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States, against someone like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States, and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high, it made me very sad. But I also realized it would be a real risk. No matter how, you know, I've been an advocate and an ally of the LGBT community my entire life. Oh, it wasn't about any prejudice on my part, but.
That calculation,
we had such a short period of time, and the stakes were so high. I think Pete is a phenomenal, phenomenal public servant. And I think America is and would be ready for that. But when I had to make that decision with 2 weeks to go, you know, and maybe I was being too cautious. You know, I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made. And I, as with everything else in the book, I'm being very candid about that.
Yeah.
With a great deal of sadness about also the fact that it might have been a risk.
She is unbelievably bad at this. Horrible. To be clear, this is what a 2028 run would look like once again. She is incapable of running a campaign. A lot of people forget this because Kamala Harris was obviously in the news a lot in 2024. You forget sometimes that in 2020, Kamala Harris already ran for president and she couldn't make it at all because her campaigns are so bad. She doesn't know how to speak to people. And obviously she talks about 107 days as if, you know, that was some sort of a curse to her, how that was some sort of unprecedented. It's not. It's happened a lot. But what she doesn't realize is if her campaign had said, you know, let's say it was 180 days, she would have lost worse to Donald Trump by far. Her, you know, having her out in the open is not an asset to her. That is a bad thing for her. She's incapable. The longer that she's in a campaign, the worse she does. She can't answer the most basic questions. And so her whole answer to that question was, oh, well, it's not that he was too gay. It's that he was too gay for a 107-day campaign. That's exactly what she says. Now, I actually think Kamala Harris's handlers had it right on this. I don't think they almost did anything right. You know, from Kamala Harris, you can blame Kamala Harris for her failings. You can also blame her staff. And they do horrible in all of her campaigns. But this is the one thing I actually think they got right. I've said for a while now that Pete Buttigieg has zero future in national elected politics. And I firmly believe that. Maybe he will serve on a cabinet again like he did under Biden. You know, I sure hope that he's, you know, God forbid he's a Secretary of State because a future Democrat president is trying to be all woke and intersectional and put gay people in. He has got zero governing skills and zero governing experience, by the way. Him being transportation secretary means nothing. I mean, that's a made-up position. No one cares at all. You know, he could be Trump's transportation secretary. It wouldn't matter at all. So if he gets put in that capacity in the future, who cares? But again, if he gets put in high up, that's going to suck. But he's never going to be president. He's never going to be elected to a position. Because even for as crazy as some have gotten in our country, we are not going to elect a gay president, especially not one who makes it a central part of their identity, like Pete Buttigieg does. Not one who has a long history of indoctrinating children with his husband, which Pete Buttigieg certainly does. You know, is there a world maybe in which one day America might elect a gay president on the left or right who doesn't make it every part of their being? Maybe. Like, if there was a great Republican out there who was gay, but he was married to a woman, would I consider electing him? Sure. I mean, so long as he's not acting on it, I don't see why I wouldn't. But Pete Buttigieg is not that guy. He's not that guy. And he is a far left progressive who has no real experience governing. And I think Kamala Harris and her team ultimately actually made a pretty smart move by not choosing him. I'm just surprised that she actually included that in the book. Because the problem that Kamala Harris has now is the progressive wing of her party hates her guts. And they already hated her. Because if you look at Kamala Harris, she is an establishment stooge. You know, she, and to be fair to the Democrat Party right now, they actually have a non-establishment wing in there right now. I think it's a horrible non-establishment wing full of people like Zohra Mamdani, Bernie Sanders, and AOC. But they don't like the establishment Democrats like Kamala Harris. But on top of that now, she is openly discriminating against a gay guy. And there's a history of that. And so this is having ramifications on her approval rating right now. Take a look at CNN, of all places. Ripping into her over her horrible approval ratings.
Say that if you want a messenger to go against Donald Trump, you can do far better as Democrats than Kamala Harris. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look at her net favorable ratings nationwide. You know, back in October of 2024, she was at minus 5 points. Not exactly great, but pretty close to the zero mark, right? Pretty close to even. But now, down under she goes. She's at minus 13 points. That's an 8-point drop. Since the general election among the overall electorate, she is not well-liked at this particular point. The American people, they don't want this. They don't want her. And get this, she's 37 points underwater with independents. If you can't win independents, you can't win the election. And the bottom line is, with those in the center of the electorate, those who are the most up for grabs, she is way, way, way underwater. She is definitely swimming with the fishes.
So that gay guy clearly doesn't like her. And then the numbers at large don't look good either. I mean, she's done virtually nothing since the election. She has not been out there at all. She's played pretty close to the chest because she's writing this book, trying to grift off of her 107-day election. And she has lost 8% approval by doing nothing. So now imagine if she was on the campaign trail again and people were actually seeing her, what that would do to her approval rating. As I talked about on yesterday's show, the Democrat Party is in serious trouble because despite Harris's horrible numbers among kind of everyone generally, she is actually leading in the Democrat nominee polls right now. This is from Echelon Insights. This came out just today. Harris is in first place with 23%. And since the last time they did this poll, she's actually down 3%. She's sliding slightly. Newsom is in second place at 17%. He's kind of taken her numbers. He's up 4% from the last time they did the poll. And then there's no one even close to them underneath. And if you look at all the polls, Harris and Newsom are always at the top, which is funny because they're basically the same person. I mean, they're both establishment Democrats from California who ruined their states. That's who they are. And you actually have some people, let me be honest for a second. Even though I think the Democrat Party is a nightmare, they've got some good up and comings. They've got a couple people. You've got people like Andy Beshear, Josh Shapiro, even Gretchen Whitmer. These are not people to ignore. And these are people that are polling at 1 or 2% for 2028. They could for sure win a national election. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, Josh Shapiro would not beat J.D. Vance. I'm not so sure, guys. I am really not so sure. I think that when you look at Andy Beshear, who again is the governor of a red state, but a Democrat, Josh Shapiro, Gretchen Whitmer, who are both governors of purple states, those are people that I am nervous about. Because you can say all you want, oh, they're Democrats, they're crazy, they're part of a crazy party. But they won in red and purple states for a reason. And I see no reason why they couldn't do it on a national scale. So they do concern me. And I think it would be unwise of the Republican Party to look at those people and just simply write them off. Here's the problem that the Democrats have, is that they're polling at 1% or 2%, which is crazy, despite being their most competent campaigners. The other problem the Democrats have is that their leadership is crumbling right now. CNN reported that 62% of Democrats want the leadership to change. And they actually said that. CNN said this straight to the face of Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. He got very uncomfortable. Take a look.
62% of the Democrats want to see the leadership of your party replaced. Do these sorts of polls make you rethink your approach at all? How do you view this?
Well, I think I understand why people all across the country, not just Democrats, are disturbed by what has been happening in this country and the extremism that has been unleashed on the American people. And we are in what I have referred to often as a more is more environment. We just have to continue to do more, to aggressively push back against the Trump administration and push back in a manner consistent with American values. More town hall meetings, more protests, more demonstrations, more speeches on the House floor, more speeches on the Senate floor, more hearings that are led by Democrats on the Hill, off the Hill.
Oh yeah, more speeches on Capitol Hill. That's how you're going to fix your standing with the American people, Hakeem. The thing is, would Democrats like Jeffries just dodge the question and they say they're just going to keep doing what they've always been doing? It only hurts them. And I've said this a million times, but reality is reality. There is an objective truth in the world. If you cut against that truth, this is probably the most important policy of all the policies. When looking at how to form your politics and policies, this is how it comes down to. If you cut against that truth with your own narrative, the only person that is going to fool is yourself. So again, Jeffries can be right or he can win. It's very clear to me right now that Democrats care more about being right than winning. And Republicans do the same thing, by the way. They did it for years. For years, Republicans gave those kind of answers that Jeffries gave. And eventually, the right-wing political commentators, the MAGA movement, called them out for it ruthlessly, and they should have. And finally, Trump came in and said, you know what? No. No, the Republican Party is not perfect. No, the Republican Party is not doing the right things. They need to do this and this and this better and completely different, like a 180, in order to help these specific people. And he won. He pivoted. He won. He won twice because of it. Democrats are going to the path of 2008-2016 Republican Party. Honestly, I'm totally fine with it. Before we get back to the news, guys, the progressive left is a cult, and I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about a lot of things I just can't talk about here on YouTube because of big tech, but it's right there in the book. I had a great time writing it. I know you'll enjoy reading it. The link is in the description below. The New Jersey governor race is heating up right now. Republicans are actually getting very close to winning this thing, which would be a massive, massive pickup for them. In the wake of that, the Democrat frontrunner, her name is Mikki Sherrill, in a town hall openly said that she thinks your child must be required to be indoctrinated with LGBTQ propaganda in school. Take a look.
Should parents have the right to opt their kids out of LGBTQ-related content in the same way that right now they can be removed from sex ed and health curriculum classes?
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push an LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at Naval Academy, an erasure of history.
Steve Sweeney.
I honestly cannot believe she said that. I think a lot of people would hold that closer to their chest. The fact that she was so open is crazy to me. I think if you're Jack Chattarelli, the Republican nominee, you need to clip that and get it everywhere. And I mean everywhere, because that is an insane thing to say. And if you look at the numbers, honestly, if you look at our country, Obviously, no Republican believes what she just said. Independents don't either. And I'm willing to bet about 50% of Democrats would completely disagree and think that's crazy too. She thinks that your kid should not be able to opt out of LGBTQ education. And let's be clear, it's crazy that that would even be taught in the first place, for sure. But then to say that your kid must see it, cannot opt out of it, will not graduate from that grade if they don't participate in it, is insane. And I think it points to something that not a lot of people are talking about, which is how the left and the right view education very differently in the jobs of parents. Conservatives, and I'm really not trying to strawman this, this is exactly what they believe. Conservatives understand that education is the job of the parents. They have full authority. And you can delegate some of that authority to teachers if you want. But at the end of the day, the authority is always with the parents. Always. If your kid comes home and they suck at math, that's your fault as the parent, not your teacher's fault. Because ultimately, if that teacher sucks, you have the responsibility as a parent to move schools or help tutor them in some case, right? It's not the teacher's fault ultimately. I mean, yeah, you can blame them all you want, but at the end of the day, you have the responsibility over your kid's future and their education. But that is not how progressives view it. Progressives, on the other hand, see the job of education as the state's. And the state then has ownership over your kids' minds and how they think and how they are risen. And I'm sorry, I just think that's an insane belief to hold. And progressives are very open about it right now. I think it's very mainstream on the left right now. Clearly, she wouldn't have been comfortable in saying that if it wasn't. So as to the election then in New Jersey, here's the recent poll that just came out that shows how close Republicans are to picking this up. This is an internal poll, so it's going to be right-leaning a bit, but you actually show that Jack Chattarelli is actually ahead by 1%, which is pretty incredible. So even if this is off by a little bit, the fact that it's even close is massive for Republicans, and they need to go full steam ahead. The race is incredibly close. As to New Jersey more generally, I think that New Jersey may be the single biggest state Republicans should focus on. If you don't remember, these were the election results in 2024. Kamala Harris won the state. Again, this is 14 electoral votes in New Jersey. It's a big state in terms of population and what it would mean for general elections for the president. Kamala Harris won, but only by about 6%. And that's less than 300,000 votes, by the way. So not a lot of people in a state, again, where you've got about a little more than 4 million people who are voting. If Republicans get to work on the ground game and run moderate candidates in New Jersey like Jack, I think that New Jersey could be within reach for 2028. I am not always able to talk about all the things that happen during the week, either because I run out of time or big tech tries to censor me, and that is why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right in your email, completely free to you, that I write about something I wasn't able to talk about in the show. Go check it out right now. It's a great way for me to interact directly with you guys and, again, talk about something that big tech probably won't allow me to say. Again, completely free. Go check it out. The link is in the description below.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.